Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam International. You're listening to Productive Muslima with me, Suraya Chauhan. So I'm in the studio after a while, and I must say I really missed it. It's like when you're broadcasting away from the studio, you don't feel like you're speaking to anyone. And when you're in the studio, you feel like people are listening to you. Alhamdulillah. So I'm sure all the mummies are much more relaxed now that the exams are over and it's the school holidays and the kids are at home. I know for me, when the kids are at home during the holiday, then you feel less stressed about everything. You feel less stressed because there's no rounds, there's no school rounds, madrasa rounds and all of the rest. So it makes it a bit more easier and you get to do the things that you don't normally do, which is like you put off your spring cleaning and all of the rest, and you get to start focusing on some of your goals as well, and, you know, reflecting and all of the rest. So it's a nice time, and I hope that everyone is enjoying it thoroughly and actually making the most of it. It is relaxing, but it's also time to get a lot of things done. So we also have so much time to also focus on the things that we normally don't. Now, on the program today, we have two segments. The first segment is called A Happy Heart. And the second segment, we're going to be discussing one aspect of alternative healing, which is body talk. And we have a guest speaker that's going to join us online. So if you have any questions that you would like her to answer, or any feedback on your body talk sessions, then you can call us on 011-854-1548, or you can message us on 072-786-1548. So you can start sending in your questions. We will interview her after the break, inshallah. Now, the mind is a very powerful tool, and it's during this time that your thoughts are causing feelings that appear in your heart, so to say. Right? So you can actually relate everything that you think about to your heart. And this is very important because Shaitan actually works with your mind. Knowing that your mind is connected to your heart, he starts dealing with issues in your mind. And when he starts dealing with these things, you actually start thinking about things that you normally don't think about. And you feel things that you normally don't feel. So this is related directly to your heart, and your heart starts to actually act either positively or negatively, right? So I'm going to go through a few mental exercises that you can do to strengthen your heart. And this is by Shema Salam, who wrote an article about the different ways of strengthening your heart, okay? So let's get into it. Firstly, to have a happy and healthy spiritual heart, you need to maintain a positive and cheerful attitude. And I think this is probably the only thing, or the main thing, that controls our lives, is positivity. Because we know if we are positive, we automatically attract everything that's positive, and we repel the negative. Even with people, a positive person will attract a positive person, and a negative person would attract a negative person. So having a positive attitude will give you peace in your heart and your mind. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how excellent the affairs of the believer, his affair, all of it is good for him, and this is not the case with anyone except the believer. If prosperity comes to him, he is thankful, and if adversity falls on him, he perseveres patiently. So it's all good for him. So we know that you have to look at life as a glass half full, and it's all about perspective. So when you maintain a positive outlook, that is when you start seeing things differently, and your perspective on life is different. Even if you have to be tested, it's different. You will either approach it positively and accept it and deal with it accordingly, or it would be a negative experience totally, right? Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also says, do not belittle any kind of kindness, even that of greeting your brother with a cheerful countenance. This is all part of positivity. You sometimes think, what does, you know, you think it's just a smile. How much can a smile do for someone? But a smile can change that person's life. That person may have had such a difficult day, and that one smile makes the person feel positive. You know, there is someone out there that's happy and someone that's given me motivation for today. See? So this is very important. It's our positive outlook. Secondly, to engage in hobbies also strengthens the heart. Now, hobbies is a form of play that fills your mind with joyful thoughts. So, play expert Dr. Stuart Brown believes that play is necessary for a happy heart. Now, when I say play, these things include either sports, art, reading, things that relax you, and things that will actually contribute to your mind positively, right? We know when we fill our minds with negative thoughts, it's the whole day, everything suddenly starts, you know, that negativity just feeds off you and it grows bigger and bigger. But when we engage in things that are relaxing to us, then automatically it's easier spiritually to gain strength, and the outlook and the heart also becomes more peaceful, okay? The third one that the writer writes is shukr. And we know Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you give thanks, I will give you more. I will increase for you. And most people today that lack contentment, they lack the ability to make shukr for gratitude. It's directly linked. Ask anyone that is content. You will never ever be able to find someone that's not content, and that's content and that's not grateful. It works hand in hand. So if you find a content person and you have to approach them and ask them what's the secret, it's always that they make shukr for every little thing. And this is directly from the Quran. When we make shukr, Allah increases for us over and over again. So this is not something that we should take lightheartedly, because gratitude, shukr, opens up so many doors, opens up so many avenues for us that we can't even begin to describe the things that it attracts. It's just like a ripple effect. The more you're making shukr, the more you just keep getting more and more and more from Allah, right? So mentally recognizing what you are thankful for is an exercise for your heart. And that also is pleasing to Allah. Because Allah tells us that, you know, if you are going to be thankful, then I'm going to increase for you. So this already is, you are more thankful to Allah, right? Then, there is a step, a process for coping with negative thoughts and feelings. Because just as we want to increase the positivity and make our hearts more peaceful, what do we do about a negative heart? Now, a healthy heart, if you have a healthy spiritual heart, right, that heart should be free of any negative thoughts and emotions. Being a positive and loving person means that you'll be able to look after yourself, you'll be able to be kind to others, and be the best you can be in your ibadah and in your daily life. So how do you cope with negative feelings? So firstly, right, if you have negative feelings, if you feel something negative, you should first be aware. It's either, what negative emotion am I feeling? Is it anger? Is it sadness? Is it fear? Is it frustration? What is it? So when you create this awareness, if you are aware of it, you are accepting that you are a human being and it's normal to have these negative feelings sometimes. Okay? So firstly is the awareness. Now, once you are aware, say I'm very, very sad today, or I have fear. Let's say, okay, today I just have this deep-rooted fear in me. Now I'm aware of it. What do? I first tell myself that I want to feel calm. Tell yourself, okay, I don't want to feel like this. I want to feel calm. And then you kick in your coping strategy. What is your coping strategy? So for everyone, it's different. It could be taking a walk, making dua, leaving the room, wherever, if someone in particular is triggering you, you leave the room. Maybe taking a bath, something that's going to relax you. So you first need to determine what your coping strategy is. And once you know what your coping strategy is, then when this feeling attacks you, that is when you start practicing your coping strategy. The next thing is to be patient, right? You are patient with yourself until your heart will become calm. So the time it takes to become calm varies from person to person and situation to situation. Some people, it's very quick to become calm, to calm themselves down. They just need like a few minutes. Some people need hours. Some people need, you know, it's going to differ for every person. So you need to know how long it takes you, and in that time, you have this patience, right? And your positive thoughts and actions, when your heart is calm, right, you automatically start feeding your mind with positivity and solutions instead of obstacles, right? You focus on what you're thankful for and what positive actions you can take to solve your problems. All of these things will happen once your mind is calm, and that comes in effect once you are coping. Your coping strategy kicks in, then you become calm, right? Then is the peace. Your inner, you're going to feel this inner peace and a sense of accomplishment for handling your negative emotion in a calm way, right? These are little steps for actually coping with the negativity in your life. You need to remove this negativity, and that is when your heart starts to accept that it's being healthy, it's being trained to be happy, it's being trained to be spiritual. Because regular spiritual exercise for our hearts will gain us love of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what deeds are loved most by Allah? And he said, the most regular, constant deeds, even though they may be few. So a few, a little things at a time, spiritual exercises, istighfar, those kind of things, things that are going to strengthen our hearts. And the heart is something that is so important, because shaitan deals with the mind, which affects the heart. But who deals with your heart? Allah. And when your heart is opened for a little, even a little bit, it's open for Allah's hidayah, Allah's guidance. Allah deals with that heart directly. He sends that nur and that change to that heart directly. And no one can do this for you except Allah. But the person's heart has to be open. And sometimes you wonder, why is it that people's hearts are so hard? You know, you meet people and you say, you know, their hearts are so hard, they're so unkind. You know, what is going on? Or you, as a person, maybe you experience this way. You feel, my heart is so hard and I don't know why. And these are remedies for making your heart soft again. The heart is something that Allah deals with all the time. So it's our duty to make sure that our heart is perfectly rounded, in the sense that it's not only a spiritual heart, it's a peaceful heart, it's a giving heart, and it's a soft heart. So how is it that we are going to make this heart strong? Firstly, we must prioritize the 5 daily prayers, right? This is very important, is to perform salah in its fixed times. So it's functional to organize our daily to-do list in a manner which highlights prayer timings, such as, like, say you are going to the mall. What you do is you say, okay, after dhuhr, you write on your list for today, after dhuhr I'm going to the mall, or after asr this is going to happen. So what you do is you automatically linking your salah times to your different to-do lists. And this makes you aware of your salahs, right? The second thing is to remember Allah. Regardless of whether you want a confident heart or a positive heart or a satisfied heart, dhikr can give you all of this and more. Okay? So Allah says in the Quran, those who have believed and whose hearts are assured by the remembrance of Allah, unquestionably,
By the remembrance of Allah, hearts are assured, or hearts find rest, hearts are at peace. How? By remembering Allah. Okay? In one of the studies, a German psychologist found that prayer can reduce the chances of developing non-productive habits while carrying out mentally exhausting tasks or trying hard to control thoughts and emotions. This is very, very profound, because as Muslims, we already have this beautiful sunnah in our lives where we have to, before a task, we do take the name of Allah. It is a prayer. So before eating, we will say Bismillah, or before any simple task, we actually already do say, we are taught to say Bismillah. And this is something that was founded so much later, that you can actually become more productive if you are going to control your thoughts and emotions with prayer, right? So alhamdulillah, our sunnah has the answers for everything. And the third thing is to read the Quran with concentration and with understanding. Now we know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the son of Umar ibn Umar not to finish reading the Quran in less than a week. He also said that one who finishes it in less than 3 days does not understand any of it. This comes in Jami Tirmidhi. So take your time and read the Quran, but with concentration and understanding. Scholars suggest that Muslims shouldn't consider his or her day complete without reciting the Quran. So your day is not complete if you haven't recited a little bit of Quran, even if it's a few lines consistently. But don't let a day go by where you haven't recited the Quran. Okay? Now, recitation does the same thing as the process of learning. It enhances us psychologically, and it also shapes us into a more God-conscious person. A person who has taqwa, who is constantly aware of Allah, because you are reading the Quran. That in itself is a healing for a person. And then ask for Allah's forgiveness. We know if you constantly make istighfar, this polishes your heart. And literally, it's the key to success. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, when the believer commits a sin, a black spot appears upon his heart. If he repents and abandons the sin and seeks forgiveness, then his heart will be polished. But if he increases his sin, the blackness also increases. Right? That is the covering which Allah has put on a person. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says also, sometimes I perceive a veil over my heart and I supplicate to Allah for forgiveness 100 times in a day. Now we know that the more we make istighfar, the cleaner our hearts come, because you're ridding yourself of sin. And the more sin you do, the blacker and blacker and blacker the heart becomes. And then it becomes harder, where there's a seal placed over it. And once there's a seal placed over your heart, hidayah cannot enter, because your heart is now blackened and hard. That is when you know. And how you know if your heart is blackened? It's when you commit sin but you feel nothing about it. So the guilt doesn't enter you at all. You may be doing the haram day in and day out, but you actually justify it, or you don't feel bad about it at all. This is a sign of a hard heart. A soft heart, and a heart that is in sync with Allah, feels when the heart has done wrong. It actually can, you have such a conscience, such a feeling, your nafs is already in that state where you start feeling what you're doing is wrong. And this is when your heart is in sync with Allah. And you have to always be aware of where you are at with your heart. Once you're aware that your heart is in this, you know, okay, you know what, my heart is becoming hard, then you remedy it immediately. But if you are not aware of where you are with your heart and what your heart is, what your heart is feeling at that moment, then you're not going to be able to know whether you're progressing towards Allah or you're actually backtracking. This is why the heart is such an important thing, because this one little thing, this heart, it is linked to every other disease: jealousy, enviousness, anger, frustration. This one heart deals with this entire body. The body is not working on its own. It's the heart that's working. It's the mind. And that is what's affecting the actions of the body. So we constantly need to be aware of the heart first. That is when we can go forward in life. And the best thing is to make dua and ask Allah. So if you know you have a problem and you know that, you know, I am guilty of a hard heart, then what you do is you make dua and you turn to Allah and you ask Allah to help you and to soften your heart and to, you know, make it strong so that you can follow Allah's rules and Allah's laws and Allah's obligations, and ask Allah for a heart that falls in love with Him over and over again, inshallah. And the best thing would be to leave what disturbs your heart. And for each person, you are going to know what unsettles your heart, right? It is said, beware of what disturbs the heart. If something unsettles your heart, then abandon it. And for each person, it's different. You know what will unsettle your heart. You know what triggers your heart to, and triggers it to actually fall in that place where you can't go forward in life anymore, or you constantly fall into sin. So what you do is you are aware of this, and when you are aware of this, that is when you can rectify it with dua and all of the rest. So you need to firstly understand what this heart is and constantly make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, soften my heart. Allah, make me a kinder person. Make me a more loving person. And the only way is to make dua. And once we make dua, then our hearts are open for hidayah. And when our hearts are open for hidayah, then of course Allah then deals with the heart and makes it such that we turn towards Him constantly. Okay, so we're going to go for an ad break. You can send in your questions. You can WhatsApp it to me on 0735321888, or the lines are going to be open. You can call in, because after the break we are going to be introducing our guest speaker, who is going to tell us more about body talk. So if you have questions, you can start sending it to me on 0735321888 or call us on 0118541548. After the break, we will be interviewing her, inshallah. So let's just take a quick ad break now, and when we get back, we'll get right into it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Radio Islam International. You are listening to Productive Muslima with me, Suraya Chauhan. So before the break, I spoke about alternative healing, and we know that this has become a huge deal all over the world, with thousands of people exploring this approach, especially when medical assistance, when doctors give up hope on certain people, or you've been for an op and you've exhausted all options, we find that people turn to different forms of or methods of alternative healing. Now, one of the methods of alternative healing is called a body talk, which is growing in popularity, and approximately 2,000 people worldwide are practitioners, right? This method, this body talk, is based on the belief that the body knows how to heal itself, but like a computer, it can get overloaded. And this is when a body talk practitioner comes in, where they sort of restore the balance, if I could say that. They restore the balance, right? So on the line now, we have a body talk practitioner, and her name is Tracy Lester. She is practicing in Randburg, and she is a body talk practitioner for the past 7 years. She runs a full-time practice, and she's also the chairperson of the Body Talk Association of South Africa. And she's extremely passionate about people and the potential each and every person has to make a difference in our world. So without any further ado, let's welcome Tracy. Tracy, good afternoon, and welcome to Radio Islam.
Thank you, Saraya. Good afternoon to you and your listeners.
A very warm welcome. And Tracy, let's begin by you explaining to us what exactly is body talk.
Okay. Body talk is a natural healthcare system. We don't diagnose and we don't prescribe medicines. So it's designed to work with and support our body's own natural ability to repair and restore itself, as you said earlier on. Mm-hmm. And a body talk session basically assists in reestablishing and reconnecting the lines of communication which enable the body's internal mechanisms to function at an optimal level. So this process repairs and prevents disease while rapidly accelerating the healing process. If we have a look at something like our digestive tract, the brain has five senses, so especially the smell, sight, and taste. These need to work together to prepare the body for food and for eating. The mouth, the teeth, the saliva glands all need to work together to get the food to the stomach, which needs to do its job with the cooperation of the liver, the gallbladder, the pancreas, the small intestine, and all sorts of parts of our bodies to begin breaking down the food. Now, our cultural and personal beliefs about food and health can also influence this, and there could also be other things like car accidents and scars and all sorts of other things that could influence our process of actually digesting food. Now, if you present it to a doctor with a sore tummy, the doctor would only look at the tummy generally. They would not actually be able to see if there was something else that was influencing why you had that sore tummy. So what body talk practitioners are trained to do is to integrate medicine from a left and right brain thinking perspective, so to understand how the body works, but then also to use biomuscular feedback to interpret the truth from the body to find out what the priority for healing is for this person. And it could well be something totally unrelated to what's being presented.
Okay, that's interesting. So say if you met up in a car accident, would that now influence something that happens to you? Like, say it happened to me 10 years ago, and I'm suffering with something right now. Would it be related?
It could quite possibly be. You know, Sarah, the thing is that human beings are all different. We all have different experiences and internalizations. And, you know, one person may have absolutely no trauma as a result of a car accident. However, there might be such bad experiences within that car accident, and the person perhaps doesn't get the help and assistance that they need at the time, and they store the memories of that car accident. Now, what can happen is that certain things could trigger this person to behave in an inappropriate manner or to have an inappropriate reaction to various things in their lives as a result of subconscious things that have been stored in their subconscious to do with a car accident. So, you know, everybody is different, and if that's the appropriate way for the person to start releasing something, then absolutely. I have a friend who had a bad car accident where there was a fatality, and she was unable to get into a car that was lower, so she needed a 4x4 or something higher, because every time she got into a car that was lower on the ground, she was triggered and actually had panic attacks. Wow. And body talk assisted her in releasing those memories, so she can now actually drive in any car without having panic attacks.
Wow, okay, that's quite interesting, because you don't actually relate those things, and then I'm sure that has to do a lot with fear and anxiety. You know, lots of people suffer with this anxiety, and they say that it just happens. They don't know why and what triggers it. It's probably also something that's concealed from the past that they just haven't restored.
I totally agree with you. You know, the other thing is that, you know, as human beings, we're living in a totally stressful world.
Yes.
And stress is the huge cause for so many illnesses and so many breakups of human relationships, because people don't know how to deal with what's going on around them.
Mm-hmm.
We're living as if we're actually living out in a threatening situation, like a war situation the whole time. And our adrenal glands are in constant overload. Our cortisol is pumping all the time. And it has so much effect on our bodies.
That's so true. And if you hear most people nowadays, even if they have cancer or other diseases, it's always linked to stress in some way, more than before. We hear of things that we haven't heard before. And most people today are living in stressful situations. I think it's just our lifestyle, our way of thinking and all of that, and it contributes to how we feel.
Absolutely. And we also have, I mean, our nutrition is not what it used to be either.
100%.
I mean, if I see people in my clinic every day that have been diagnosed with the strangest autoimmune disorders that never existed when I was growing up.
Mm.
And a lot of that is related to stress, but a lot of it is also related to diet,
yes,
to exercise, and to the environment that we're living in.
Well, yes, for sure. So, Tracy, from what I understand from what you mentioned earlier, right, obviously if you're feeling these feelings, there is a link between the mind and the body.
Saraya, we can't be separate from our minds.
Mm-hmm.
We are, you know, as human beings, when you look at a human being, it's almost like looking at an iceberg. So what you see and what you conceive is a very small part of what's going on below the surface. We don't think to breathe. We automatically do that. Where do thoughts come from? Do they come from Allah? How are they put on our mind?
Mm.
You know, how do we conceive all of these things? And I have found in my experience that there is a lot of connections between diseases that are connected to mind things, to the way that we've conceptualized things, to the experiences that we've actually gone through in our lives, because we become the combination of all of these things. And it's almost as if the final straw that breaks the camel's back can be completely unrelated,
yes,
to what's actually starting to appear in our lives.
Hmm.
So, yes, we are. We are mind, body, spirit, soul. We're incredible creatures that have been created. And we can't ignore one or other of those combinations, because they are as what we are as human beings.
Definitely, definitely. We can't actually separate it, because it all starts in our minds and then it reaches our actions. So I'm sure even with this particular healing method, it probably works the same way.
Well, you know, with our healing that we do, each and every session is completely different. I've never had one session that is the same with a client. Because of the fact that we are all so very different.
Mm.
And what we're presenting and what we're thinking is the problem is often not where the cause is. So body talk basically just interprets and bypasses the subconscious mind to find the truth about what's going on within the body and mind. And often just finding the trigger for something can release a lot of stuff. You can go all the way back to being a baby and not even remembering the incident. Where, let's say, a baby's calling and it falls off somewhere, and the first thing it sees is brown carpet.
Yeah.
And then the next time something happens, it's also on the carpet and a green carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly now it has a problem with carpets. Now, it's totally irrational that would actually happen,
mm-hmm,
but it does.
It does.
And something as little as that can build up an emotion of being fearful of something.
Wow. So would body talk actually assist, can you do it on babies, or does it have to be adults?
No, we definitely can assist children and babies. In fact, there are practitioners that do sessions for babies that are in utero, because sometimes there are problems that are picked up with fetuses. That the mother knows that something is going to be going on with this child before it's even born. Things like spina bifida and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there are practitioners that have had amazing results actually working with these little ones while they're in utero to start the healing process, so that when they've actually come out, they don't seem to be as bad as what the doctors have predicted. Often dealing with kids is a little bit difficult, because children don't like to lie still or sit still.
Mm.
So what we can do is we can do surrogate sessions where one of the parents can come in, and we then focus on the child but work through the parent. And there's been some amazing, amazing things that have happened with little ones like this as well.
So do you actually need a problem to have a problem to go to a body talk practitioner, or can you say just like that decide that, okay, I need my child to see a body talk practitioner just to know what's going on?
So where you don't have to have a problem. In fact, you know, if people took a little bit more care with their with themselves and maybe with their children, and did maintenance. You know, people do exercise to maintain their bodies.
Yes.
They'll go for their annual checkup with their doctors to make sure that their blood pressure is okay, that they're not experiencing anything that they shouldn't be experiencing, that their sugar levels are okay. But they don't think about the rest of it. And Body Talk as a maintenance tool is amazing.
Yes.
Because if you can actually deal with things that as they come up, and find out about the things that are maybe stressing you out before they become a problem, the chances are you're going to live a very healthy life and not have to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing kind of can happen with children as well. You know, if you have the feeling that maybe there's something going on with your child that you're really not sure about, because, you know, we work so much as parents that we're not with our children all the time.
Yes.
And they may be getting bullied a little bit at school, or there may be a problem with one of their caregivers or something like that needs to be balanced.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, that could come up within a Body Talk session. And the amount of children that are being bullied it's horrendous.
Yes. it really is a big problem.
So, you know, if you can actually bring the child into a space that they can deal with what's happening better and understand it, then you can thwart the problem before it becomes a big one.
Yes, yes, definitely. So if you're a Body Talk practitioner and say someone comes to you for a problem that's physical, and do you accompany this method of alternative healing with others, like, say, acupuncture or, you know, you get cupping and all of those things?
Well, you know, there are Body Talk practitioners that have been trained in different modalities. So there are kinesiologists, there are acupuncturists, there are multitudes, EFT tapping. There's a lot of different healing modalities out there. Now, Body Talk is one of the few modalities that recognizes all of them. And we work according to a protocol chart. Excuse me a sec. A bit of a frog there, a protocol chart that actually incorporates other modalities.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is what's appropriate for the person in a Body Talk session, then that would come up for that person. But generally speaking, Body Talk sticks to its own. But we do refer out. So if it comes up within a Body Talk session that this person would do well with a psychologist, for instance, or they really need to see a doctor or a specialist, we will then recommend that they do that. If they need to see an acupuncturist, we would then recommend that they do that as well. And if it is part of the toolbox, let's call it, of techniques that the practitioner has trained in, then more than likely that practitioner would actually engage in that. But as Body Talk practitioners, we don't stick needles in people. We don't cut. We don't do any of those physical things. The most we will do is tap on your head, your heart, and perhaps your belly.
Mm-hmm.
To program in a mathematical almost formula of links that have come up within the session. So we don't do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are trained in them and they come up and that's what's appropriate, then yes.
Then it happens. Okay,
yeah.
I'm just going to, we have two questions here. I'll just go through it. The first one says, can you please ask the guest speaker about my son? He has severe allergic reactions. Can Body Talk assist him with this or not?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We have a technique in Body Talk called body chemistry, which can actually start to balance that and start to help your son with his allergies. So I would suggest that you have a look at our website, the South African Body Talk Association website, and find a practitioner close to you and perhaps consult with them, because I've seen some amazing things happen with allergies as well that have been minimized and also disappeared.
Okay, okay. Just for the callers out there, if you want to send in your questions, please send them in on 073-532-1888, or you can call in on 011-854-1548. Our guest speaker, Tracy, would be glad to answer your questions. Okay, so Tracy, I have another question that's come in. Salams, I have a terrible pain in my neck, and I have to go for physio constantly. Would I be able to do the Body Talk along with the physio, and how would that help?
Yes, caller, you definitely would be able to do body talk along with physio. Body talk can be combined with any other modality or doctor's treatment. And you may find that the pain in your neck is coming from something completely unrelated to your neck. And once that is cleared, you may find that the pain starts to subside and eventually disappear. Because when you're looking at a physio, they're manipulating physically your neck and the muscles in your shoulders, perhaps. But there may be something that is actually out of balance somewhere else in your body that a body talk practitioner could recognize for you. And once that is balanced, you may find that your neck pain starts to go away. I would actually ask you maybe, though, who or what is giving you a pain in your neck?
Yeah, good question. I think we all have that pain in the neck.
Yeah, you know, often neck pain can be caused from looking at computers. We hunched over the whole time. Mm. But sometimes it can be something completely different. You know, we're an entire system, and if something is out of balance somewhere, it can affect something else. So if you look at a person as being, say, a sheet of plastic, and you put your finger in the middle of the plastic, there's all these lines that go out and it's no longer lovely and smooth.
Yes.
Now, there could perhaps be a little toe that's been damaged that's affected the fascia in the body that's actually affecting the neck. As strange as it sounds, these things are totally possible because we don't know exactly what's going on. And it could be something like that, as simple as that a body talk practitioner may be able to pick up.
So how would you know if you need medical assistance or whether body talk would help?
A body talk practitioner, if you needed medical assistance, would definitely refer you to a medical practitioner. We are not doctors, and there are things that doctors do and need to do that we are not qualified to do. So if you feel you need to see a doctor, definitely see a doctor. But if there is something that is sort of underlying and you're not sure what is actually going on, it may be worthwhile consulting a body talk practitioner who could then try and see what's going on with your body and then refer you to the doctor. But we don't take over doctors' dual roles at all, not at all. So, yes, you know, we're not replacing doctors. We can't replace doctors. If somebody breaks their leg, I really don't want to see them.
Yeah.
I can assist them with setting them up for an operation so that operation perhaps will go better and that they will heal faster. And in their recovery process, I deal with a lot of people with knees who've had knee replacements and things like that. And they're up and about a lot faster than they would be without body talk. But,
hand in hand.
They do work hand in hand. And, you know, we do have some doctors that refer to us. We have some medical doctors that are body talk practitioners as well.
Okay.
There's a lady in Bryanston, another Soraya, a Dr. Soraya Kala, who is a body talk practitioner as well as a medical doctor.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so would you be able to take us through what a session would be like? If someone had to come to you for a session, what is it that would happen?
Okay, so first of all, you'd need to fill in an intake form. So we need a starting point. We need to know what sort of operations you maybe have had, how you are feeling. Are you feeling like you are being attacked? Are you feeling depressed? Are you feeling any of these things? Also, what medications you're currently on, because sometimes, you know, medications don't always integrate too well with some people, and sometimes we need to balance those to the body. We never tell people to stop taking the medications, but that's part of it. We then discuss why you are there. So get to know one another a little bit and say, okay, well, have you come to me for a certain reason, or is it just a maintenance? Let's see what's going on. What would happen then is we use prints, much like you have in your doctor's office when you're examined. But the thing about us is you don't take off any of your clothes. Mm-hmm. So you lie down fully clothed on a plinth. We then use biomuscular feedback, which is basically just tugging on your arm, and program the body to give us yes and no answers. Once we've established our yes and no answers from this particular person, we would then go through a protocol chart, and basically our protocol chart incorporates Western and Eastern kind of concepts. So There are acupuncture points that kind of come up as part of a body talk session, but there's organs, there's endocrines, there's body parts, there's active memories, there's body chemistry, which is to do with bacteria and allergies and intolerances. And when your body says, yes, this is where I need to stop, I then stop. And I say, okay, right, what has come up perhaps is your liver. And then I check, is this a physical problem with the liver? Is there something going on that's not physically functioning? Or is it the psychology about the liver? Because each body part also has a purpose in a psychological kind of perspective. So the liver is about planning and organizing, but it's also about anger and resentment. Mm. And from there, we then establish what it is. Let's say it was anger. I would then find out if there's more to the story. So if your body then says, yes, tell me more, I might then say, okay, well, is this to do with a person or an experience or something else? And then talk to you and say, listen, I'm picking up that there's some anger here and it seems to have something to do with your mother. Mm-hmm. What do you think? And they would then perhaps say, generally they'd say, yes, okay. This is what's happening with my mom. And we would then say, is there more that we need to find out about this? Perhaps not. And then we'd ask, what is the link to this? Then we then go backwards or forwards on the protocol chart until we get another yes. And the next yes may land up at, say, our stomach. And it's about digestion of life. And we may then discover that there's also an active memory attached to that about how mom has tried to control my life and not allow me to bring up my children maybe the way I want to bring up my children, and I'm now angry with her, and this is causing a problem. And then we'd see if there was another further link. So we almost start building little mathematical formulas within the body, because it could then link to just about anything else. And when we have the whole story, we then concentrate on that and bring it to the attention of the brain and say to the brain, okay, brain, this is what we found out, and this is the step number one, step number two, step number three that's actually come out of this. We then tap on the brain, and we tap on the heart, and we tap on the tummy. We'd also establish whether you needed to maybe hold your liver just to concentrate on that. And from that comes a release. So that's a kind of an example. And then we'd say, okay, right, we test with the body. What is the next priority for healing that this person actually needs? And so we go, and I have the best fun with body talk sessions.
I'm sure.
And most people that arrive for a session walk out feeling like they've gone for a huge massage.
Yes.
It's as if there's things that shift energetically within the body mind that just allow us to start to live a joyful life again.
Wow, you know, it sounds so interesting, and you know, it's I have so many more questions, and we have a few more questions, but unfortunately, we have run out of time. I think I'm gone a bit over because of the news just now. But it's so interesting, Tracy. I can't thank you enough. It was an absolute pleasure speaking to you, and it was so informative. It's definitely piqued my interest, and I would love to do a session. So even I'm sure the callers as well, the listeners as well, would love to experience this. So I will give out the details, or Tracy, could you maybe give out your website address, and then we can close up.
Super. Thank you, Sarah. It's been such a pleasure talking to you and your listeners as well. Our website is www.bodytalksystem.co.za.
Okay, that's perfect.
Okay, and on that site you will find a list of all of our practitioners, and we also have quite a lot of Muslim ladies that are practitioners too.
Yes.
So it's a great pleasure to have spoken to you, and thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Tracy. Have a great one.
And you too, Saraya. Bye-bye now.
Okay, so there you have it. That was Tracy from the Body Talk Association. Definitely something that's really piqued my interest. And I'm sure many of you would like to maybe try this out. It's something that's worth a try, especially since, you know, it's non-invasive and it's an alternative method of healing. So I think we've definitely run out of time now. Join us next week, Tuesday, where we're going to be discussing some of the aspects of Hajj. And we're going to have our guest speaker in studio, Tasneem Seth. She returned from a Ramadan Umrah trip. She's going to be giving us advices next week, inshallah. So please take a listen and call in, inshallah. Until next week, Tuesday, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.